There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, brand new week to work with, and 2 hours of live local talk starts right now. Of course, you're a big part of the program on the text line and the phone line, 343-0106. Also, our Facebook page, my Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5. Lots of ways to interact. I'd love to hear from you today. And by the way, Dalton, you heard that news account there from Westwood One News, this machete attack on the Appalachian Trail. We can go to my house right now. You can look at the browsing history of my computer at the house, and all weekend long was working out sections. I want to try to piecemeal the Appalachian Trail. That's kind of as I'm heading into midlife crisis. Piecemeal the Appalachian Trail, probably starting down here on the south end in Georgia with Springer Mountain and working my way up. I mean, I was researching that all weekend. All weekend. And then, here we go, machete attack on the AT. Not good, not good. Have to rethink my... Maybe I'll just go lay on a beach somewhere or get a convertible or a red sports car or something like that. That'd be less dangerous, maybe. All right, coming up this hour, it is all toll talk. Of course, we were talking about this morning at length in the 8 o'clock hour. And during the conversation about proposed tolls on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and also Wallace Tunnel, we got in a discussion of that Facebook page I saw come up over the weekend, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll. And to talk more about this Facebook page, man behind it, State Auditor Jim Ziegler joining us now on Midday Mobile. Hey, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for your interest in this very, very concerning issue. The law of unintended consequences is about to strike Mobile and Bowen County, Alabama. Can you imagine if a family just barely has their family budget in balance? They're getting by. They're a working family. And now all of a sudden you add about $2,500 a year cost to go from their home on one side of the bay to their work on the other side of the bay. It's going to be devastating to a lot of working families. Are the bankruptcy attorneys secretly behind this?
Oh, come on.
This game makes no sense.
Come on. Okay, let's get back into the... I don't know that the bankruptcy attorneys are here, but people will argue that this will not be built. And I've talked to the people with Aldott a couple times. As far back, that's one thing. This is now seems to be the subject du jour, but for a year and a half, we've been talking about it on this very show about this coming and the conversation we had with Congressman Bradley Byrne, who had said... man, I don't know how they're going to build this thing without a toll. Even before that discussion came up, that it's not been a secret there would be a toll. I guess the one thing that caught me by surprise and many others, that it wouldn't just be on the bridge, it would also be on the Wallace Tunnel. But the people with Aldott tell us that they're not going to be able to build it. Without a toll, they can't build this project. Do you believe that is true, or what's your take on that?
It may be. And for this very reason, I am doing research now. And I will let you be the first to know, I am studying options to pay for the new I-10 Bayway Bridge and I-10 expansion without a toll. And so far I've identified 7 ways, but I'm researching them now to make sure that they could legally be used for this purpose. And I'm going to file this report with Aldott before the May 23rd deadline for public input.
You know, and that's one of the things that if people go look at your Facebook page here, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll, you've kind of have some deadlines on here for, like you said, about that May 23rd. You give them a heads up about the deadline, and I guess if people want to get their, you know, if they weren't at the meetings the other night or whatever and want to file their complaint or their support or whatever, they have to go to a specific place and do that before the 23rd.
That's right. And we have the online comment page, which is easy to use. We have it linked on our new Facebook page, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll. So you can simply make one click, and there you are on the comment page and can begin filling it out. Now, I'm going to have to attach to it a much larger document because I'm doing a full report, going to address possibly seven other ways to pay for this bridge. You know, Pensacola rebuilt theirs on I-10. There's no toll. New Orleans rebuilt theirs after Katrina. There's no toll. Birmingham right now is having to redo their I-59 interchange, and there's no toll. Why did Mobile Baldwin get singled out and only we have to pay a toll?
Well, and it's, you know, yeah, that I think the Alabama comparison is the most compelling, right? Because we're that way we're talking apples and apples and inside our state. And I'm very interested in the situation in Birmingham. My question was, too, what happened to, for a long time, we were told, we the people, were told this was an 80-20 proposition, right? 80% federal, 20% some amalgamation of ALDOT being state and maybe counties and municipal. And now that seems to be all off as well.
Absolutely. The thing has changed from the way it was first explained, and I'm trying to reconstruct the scenario here. You know, the first mentions that I noticed about a year ago of a toll, a possibility of a toll, and a big deal was not made out of it, but it was mentioned. What nobody mentioned until very recently was two things. One, the amount of the toll. Can you imagine $12 a day for a working family, and two, the fact that they may block off the I-10 tunnels, that's the plan, so they're told also, and they may turn the Bankhead tunnels into a bicycle pedestrian walkway.
Right, that's something that's been
on the Cochran Bridge.
Right, and that's something that's been bounced around, and I don't, you know, that was talked about a year or two ago about that. I don't know if they're still on that plan. I have said, there's unintended consequences, right? If you have a tolling scenario on both the Wallace Tunnel and this proposed bridge, then people who want to get around the toll will do what people do on a very busy day on I-10 eastbound, right? They will get off, they will go on the surface streets, they'll get on government and go through the Bankhead. That already causes a backup when it happens. That could be happening every day.
It absolutely could. Some might choose to go over the Africa Town Cochran Bridge. That could back up. Some in northern Baldwin County may choose to go over the so-called Dolly Parton Bridge and get off on 225 or 59. So we're going to see some increased traffic there. But basically, it looks like they're trying to force people on to the tollway.
Well, that's what, I mean, they made no bones about it with me when I had folks on from ALDOT. They said necessarily, that was because when I said, hey, why are y'all tolling the Wallace Tunnel, it's already existed. And they said, because it would be leaky. I think it's a true term they use, that if we didn't have a toll on the Wallace, people would avoid the bridge and go in the Wallace. And we have to have a certain count of traffic going through there to pay for this thing. That was the case they made. I think it is on purpose. I don't think they're even hiding it. They're saying, hey, this is purposeful because we have to get the revenue.
Well, absolutely. And I think what may be valuable here, are there other ways still available to finance this bridge, either without a toll or maybe lowering a $12 round-trip toll down to $2 a round-trip? That would be a tremendous difference. But some people think they came out with this $12 figure just so when they plan to drop back, it won't sound so bad. It's a strategy. I don't know about that. No one does. But I am going to produce this report and release it on, right now it looks like seven other ways to pay for the bridge without a toll.
Yeah, and this is interesting. We're going to have to get maybe a little sneak peek at this when we come right back. Talking to State Auditor Jim Ziegler. He's got the Facebook page, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll, up. It is live on Facebook. You can check it out. We linked it through at our Facebook page as well. And grab your questions when we return as well on the text line, 343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Talking with State Auditor Jim Ziegler about the Facebook page Block the Bayway Toll. And I guess we need to disambiguate or just talk about the website as well, which is Stop the Bayway Toll, right? So there's a block and there's a stop.
The website stopthetoll.com was put up by Spanish Fork businessman Kevin Spriggs. He's been quite the activist for the people of Baldwin County. And as a matter of fact, 4 years ago, he and I and many others worked together to defeat a Baldwin County-wide vote on a proposed tax increase. And it was defeated quite handily. And so he felt led to put up that Facebook page, that internet page, the website, and he is encouraging people to file comments before the May 23rd deadline. And I've had better luck, and I'm getting already tremendous response to the Facebook page. We're closing in on 500 members supporting us on Block the Mobile Bayway Toll Facebook page, and that's in less than 24 hours. So we think we can let them know that we're out there. They can't just sneak this thing by us, and that people care.
You know, as the numbers are important, as you pointed out, this idea that if you take the highest proposed number, they said the tolls would be between $3 and $6. So let's take the high one, $6, and you double it, and that's where you get the $12 a day for somebody coming and going. That number is obviously has everybody pushing back. The other number is zero. And sure, everybody would love it to be zero. And I want to go through some of your ideas here on funding sources, because if it could be zero in additional dollars, it's already coming out of taxpayer dollars, but zero additional dollars, that would be great. Problem is, they're telling us, and you can tell me if you think they're not telling the truth here, but this thing cannot be built without a toll. That this is not going to happen without an additional toll. So where does that, in your mind, between $0 and $12, what's the right number?
I do not know quite yet. Now, sometime this week, I expect to finish up my report, and I'll get you a sneak preview of it before I actually file it with ALDOT. And I'll be filing a report on the ALDOT site just like everybody else, but mine's liable to be 15 pages long and have a lot of research. I've been working on this quite some time. But my ideal situation would be not have a toll at all. If that's just impossible, rather than $12 a day, $2 a day sounds real good, a dollar each way, but some citizens would even complain, of course they would, about that. So,
But I would argue that, okay, just... If you're doing that, there's going to be, I don't know, I think it's safe to say that, and I think it's more, but safe to say that once a week, somebody that would, let's say they travel west in the morning and east in the afternoon, that at least once a week, they're going to be stopped in some kind of traffic going into the tunnel. So, you know, if $1 is too much, could I argue that they burn more than $1 sitting in traffic and gas, you know, waiting to get through a tunnel?
Maybe so. Let's see how much money I could come up with in my different options to pay for the bridge without the toll. And let's see. Now, we're talking about basically a $2 billion project. Let's see how much I can come up with. I just think maybe I'm always the optimist. I can come up with a $2 billion. I'm right there okay. Now in my preliminary research.
$2 billion. You can come up with $2 billion for the funding.
I can.
What did happen to that 80-20 split? Did you follow that? I mean, for a long time, we were told that this is the kind of project, right, that there would be federal dollars. And when President Trump was campaigning and talking about infrastructure and all this, I said, hey, this may happen. You know, they're going to put some money in. And all of a sudden, I hear that's old yesterday's news. There's no 80-20.
I'm going back and recreate the chronology of that. And that, you're a step ahead of me, as usual. That's one of my 7 points. I'm going to be making. If this was 80% federal money and we only have to come up with 20% of $2 billion, I can definitely show you how to do that. But we haven't heard about that 80-20 in a couple of years, really.
Yeah, and it's, I guess that along with that was probably my fault for assuming that the toll would be on the bridge and not the Wallace Tunnel. That has one thing that people have sent me a lot of emails about, a lot of text about, and they've asked, how is this possible that you toll an existing interstate? And I said, you know, at first I said, I don't think you can do that. Then I saw several documents here where it has been done around the country, I guess because the argument would be they'd be expanding the lanes of I-10 so they could somehow put a toll on that.
Well, that's one of the many concerning points. Not only are they tolling the new bridge, but also the existing Wallace tunnels, which would connect to the new I-10 Bayway. They would continue to go under the Mobile River. Mm-hmm. This is problematic. They're trying to make everybody block, so they have to pay the toll. Now, if they add another problem and they cut off the Bankhead tunnels, my oh my, we can see how this is a diabolical strategy to force everybody to pay the tolls. There's going to be an uprising, and I intend to be at the front of it.
You know, the situation as it stands right now, we have, of course, some federal and state, but we have this private concessionaire, right, coming in to build. One of the concerns I had was whatever the toll ends up being, whatever the if it happens and you're not successful making it zero, let's say it's somewhere between $1 and $12, they have, a 55-year window to charge that, and they can raise the price of that toll based on a couple things, but it seems like it's not real hard going forward to raise that toll price.
Well, that's correct. It's going to be a terrible thing if some bureaucrats or some out-of-state business concessionaires raise the toll at some point. And the history of the bank tunnel and its toll, its former toll, mm-hmm. It's amazing that it kept being raised or renewed long after there was had been plenty of money to pay for it. So it quickly became a revenue source for government and not just to pay for itself. The same thing down in Orange Beach at the Beach Express Bridge down there.
Mm-hmm.
The toll is continuing. It's a money making project, not just to pay for itself.
And I would say if there's a private concessionaire in it and they're risking private capital, I would expect them to make a profit. That's, you know, that doesn't surprise me or bother me, to be frank, if they're going to do this. The whole project may be of question, but I'm saying specifically, you know, the idea that a private concessionaire is going to make a profit, that's why they're risking their capital. But this ability to hold a choke point on a federal interstate and be able to long-term for 55 years start raising those rates, that is worrisome to me, that there's not, I mean, that the sunset is so far, and I've been told that a lot of that money is going to go into upkeep, but the sunset's so far out, and we don't have a real index to track, you know, that they could raise it up to $12 one day. I mean, nothing could keep them from doing it if they could make the argument it costs more to do maintenance.
Well, that's true, and it's concerning. There would be very little accountability, no way for the people or necessarily their elected representatives to control this thing. It would be bureaucrats and outside concessionaires, and it's just a worrisome thing. So I am just hoping that I can come up with the money to show them how to pay for it without the toll. Now, will they listen? or are they stubbornly heading toward the way they want to do it?
And when you say they, who would you, if you're wanting somebody, is it LDOT? Is it somebody else with the state? Who would you be focused on?
Well, LDOT is, of course, a major part of the mix, but they have potential partners and people they're consulting with that are in on this thing, and I'm not one of them. I have not been allowed any input other than this May 23rd deadline for everybody to file comments, and I'm filing a major report. So I don't know who all the, you might say, co-conspirators are in this project, but LDOT is a big one, and their consultants and partners are in there too. It might make a great expose at some point. But right now, rather than blaming, I want to find an alternative way to pay for it, and I want the bridge, or at least some way to solve the congestion problem on I-10, and it looks like we're faced with the bridge or not. So I want to find this way, and I think I have found it. I'm finishing up.
Okay.
To pay for it.
Well, you're going to give us that sneak peek very soon.
Yes, absolutely.
And remind folks about the Facebook page. Where do they go on Facebook?
They go on Facebook to Block the Mobile Bayway Toll.
Very good. State Auditor Jim Ziegler joining us today, and we'll talk to you again real soon when you give us a sneak peek. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sean.
All right, thank you. Coming right back, we'll grab your phone calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1235 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on a Monday. The phone number, 251-343-0106, gets you through on the text line or the phone line. Speaking of the text line, don't you see that? I'm trying not to get distracted because there's a side conversation about the Appalachian Trail going on the text line. Do not get distracted, Sean. Save that for right now. People need to be enraged about tolls, and they've never heard of such a thing except. Don't mean you have to like it, but this idea that it's like everybody's dealing with this, like this discussion hadn't. We've been talking about it on the show for a year. I'm glad y'all joined the party. Let's get the phones. David and Mobile, first up.
Hey, Sean. I like to have a apples to apples comparison here. So, using LDOT's own estimates on vehicle counts at a $6 toll for 55 years would generate around $20 billion for the if the entire project was paid for by the private with the tolls.
Mm-hmm. So that is 30, wait, that's using the current because I was looking at that website earlier. Is that the current traffic estimates or a projected growth?
That's the projected growth. Okay. Of up to 130,000 cars per day on the bridge. Now that's the actual number is about $22 billion, but I adjusted it down considering that you're going to have to grow to the 130,000, you're going to have people that aren't going to travel the full way, that kind
right.
of stuff.
Right. Okay.
If the state went and borrowed the entire amount of the $2.1 billion for the project,
yes,
and paid it back over a 30-year bond,
what would it be?
It would be around $4 billion.
So, if your math is right, that's one of the best analysis I've heard yet. That it's so doing it through the concessionaire, so not having to have money up front. They make $22 billion. If we did it as a state and bonded it out, it would be $4 billion.
Yes. Now, even if we wanted to pay it back with tolls instead of doing a bond issue, if LDOT and the concessionaire went and did something like a monthly fee for unlimited use of the bayway, and you could even open it up to anybody that wanted to do an unlimited monthly pass. You, over that same 55-year time period, if 40% of the locals in Mobile and Baldwin County signed up for the monthly pass, that would be around 3.5 $4 billion at $50 a month in almost guaranteed revenue for the private concessionaire. So over that 55-year time period, the locals with the local unlimited pass would more than pay back the principal on the amount borrowed.
That very interesting numbers and good analysis to think about what it would cost to. But here, maybe it's just the fact that, you know what, there's not the, they probably figured there was not the will for the taxpayers for a item here to bond or have the state borrow the money. There wasn't that will, and so they could make it seem like everybody else was going to pay for it until, I guess, people woke up and said, wait a second, well, I travel that too, and you hear what's happening now. David, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Buster in Mobile. Hey, Buster.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for the call.
Question. What the hell are they going to do about the traffic when they tear down the old Bayway and revert down to the causeway?
Yeah, well, how they're actually going to work it, I don't know, Buster. I don't know if they're going to do, like, adding other lanes and then opening it up. Those things I do not know specifically. So I wouldn't imagine they would dare have us without a Bayway, you know, for anything more than a day or two, because that would be can't even imagine.
Stupid things anyway, so add it to their list.
I don't know. The idea here is, and I've heard bits and pieces, and joining us here in a little bit on the show, State Senator Chris Elliott's going to talk with us, and he's been in a lot of these meetings, so maybe he can help us. But this idea that they were going to lift up the Bayway, and I don't know if that means they're going to do it to the actual sections there, or they're going to build yet another set of eastbound and westbound, right, and make them wider and higher. And then I guess condemn the other part and break it down. I don't know. But the idea is that they are going to raise and widen the Bayway. Does that leave us without Bayway lanes? I hope not. Buster, thanks for the call. Getting a couple texts in here. I want to read through these. And y'all can hop on the line now at 343-0106. No, can't do. That's Appalachian Trail Talk. Can't do that. Can the taxpayers of Mobile and Baldwin County get a break? It's from one of the texters here. Okay, so we'll talk about that with Senator Elliott in a second, but when he was on the show with us last week or the week before, I said something similar. I said, hey, can we just say if we live in Mobile and Baldwin County, we pay a different rate? Get this. So federal law says, it cannot be done by address. It can be done by frequency of use, but it cannot be done by address. You can't, at least according to what was told to us by Chris Elliott, was that the federal law says if you're trying to, because he's right now, he's going to come on, he's pushing this bill, he's pushing it in Montgomery to try to have, if this is built, to have some kind of way for local drivers to get a better deal, right? He's pushing this. He's, I think, the only person in Montgomery that's been talking about this. He's pushing this deal to get a better rate. Well, and I said, same thing you did in the text. I said, well, come on, then Mobile and Baldwin County folks get better. He said, nope, I can't do that. He said, federal law says it has to be based on frequency of use and not address. So I thought that was an eye-opener. I just learn new things every day. Curtis says, has anything been said about trailers going over the new bridge? The toll bridge in Orange Beach charges $1 per axle for trailers. Curtis, I don't have the actual numbers, but I have been in the conversations here. And when I said, you know, what about commercial traffic? I heard that commercial traffic will be paying a higher rate than whatever the rate we're talking about now is. So I guess the numbers we're talking about, the $3 to $6 either way, that projected money is based on, it's just passenger vehicles or something to that, because it's there's going to be a higher rate for commercial buildings. How much more or whatever, they haven't given me those numbers, but it would be higher. Somebody says here, when people refuse to pay the toll, it's just going to crowd the causeway. Of course, but even before it crowds the causeway, to this texter, think about this. Think about what happens, like, every time that we have a backup. Like, okay, I'm going to run over and see my buddy. Go see my godsons over in Daphne, right? So I'm going to drive over there, and I'm rolling eastbound on I-10. And about Virginia Street, I start seeing it. Or I'm seeing it, you know, maybe I hear, you know, from Kane, the traffic department, I'm at Michigan, and I hear that. What do I do? Well, get off. Get off at, you know, if I'm lucky enough to get off back at Broad Street, but you can get off at Virginia, and then you work your way over to Government, right? And you pull up there, you surface streets, two-lane surface streets. Now there's more traffic going through there because you're trying to do the end around here. you're going through there. You eventually, at some point, end up on Government, hang that right turn. But, of course, by now, there's a stack of traffic on Government Street, people trying to get in the Bankhead Tunnel to go through because of whatever tie-up is on I-10. Think about if that didn't happen once in a while. Think if that happened every day. That's the scenario I would see, and I would argue that there's unintended cost to this project. You could say it's $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion, to build this project out for the bridge and then the ancillary improvement to the bayway and the widening and all the stuff that would go through. Are they taking into account, and this is one thing I got to figure they've thought about, but I don't know if they've addressed the funding on something like that, take into account the additional traffic that would go through surface streets in Mobile, you know, getting onto Government Street and going through the tunnel. So, that's going to be a cost. Because it wouldn't be once in a while. Y'all have seen it before. You've seen it before. When you're trying to avoid the Wallace and go through the Bankhead Tunnel when everybody's doing that and how busy it is. Imagine if that was every day. All right. John says, why can't they just add two lanes to the current bayway and still build the bridge? I don't know. I mean, they still would build. Why can't they just add two lanes? Well, they would. Oh, you're talking about why they wouldn't just add two along the side versus a whole new structure. John, what I've heard is that they want to raise the structure. I guess both R-A-Z-E and R-A-I-S-E. But they want to have a new bayway that is higher off the water. The concerns being what happened to I-10 crossing Pontchartrain and I-10 over in Pensacola. Right? Was that the one crossing Perdido, wasn't it? That section, those sections that because of storm surge got knocked out. I have been here since the 70s, and I have not seen an issue for getting sections of the bayway knocked out. Now, it could be, and I'm sure there's some analysis they've done, and you know, you have rising sea levels, but I don't know if they've risen enough that would be some reason. I mean, we're talking about small incremental amounts that would give an issue for the bayway as it sits. But that's one of the things that they've suggested, is that they would elevate the bayway as it stands so it wouldn't be at risk for storm surge and having those sections of concrete knock loose. This texter has said, give the people who live in Alabama a tax write-off to state taxes to offset the toll. Would that be... You're going to give that to everybody in the state? No. Now, Mobile and Baldwin counties, I'm with you. Texter, I don't give somebody from Madison County. That's where we're getting our money from. Let's see here. There's a lot of traffic. Okay, thank you. Scambia Bay. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, that was the other section. So I-10 over Scambia Bay, that was one section that was lost. And, of course, we know during Katrina what happened to I-10 over the Pontchartrain. So the argument is you have to raise. So not only do you have to improve in width, more lanes for the bayway, you would have to elevate the bayway as well to go with the. And you are going to have to add new lanes. There's no purpose in putting in a bridge and have the Wallace Tunnel and have them all dump out into the same number of lanes. If you're alleviating traffic and you get people split up between the Wallace Tunnel and the bridge, and then you dump them back onto two lanes on the bayway, that accomplishes nothing. It accomplishes moving the traffic jam from back before the tunnel to somewhere out on the bayway. So yeah, if this does go through, I won't argue with the fact that you have got to add lanes. All right. Yeah, and people talking about what it means for their personal budgets. That's what we've been talking about for a couple weeks here. You know, what do these numbers actually mean for you? And that's one thing that Chris Elliott had talked about. He had run some numbers, what he thought it meant for average families that go across the Bayway every day. We'll talk about some of those numbers with him coming up. Also, take your calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, Dalton, I mean, the silver lining to that is then I don't have the hundreds of emails I get a day. I don't have to answer them, right? Pretty perfect. My email says it's not happening anymore because it's so so full. But now I don't, this is great. I don't have to do anything because I'm not getting new emails. That's good. I could use that. It's going to be a good week. All right, to 343-0106, 343-0106. You could always reach out to me on Twitter. I haven't been banned yet from Twitter or said I've gone over my allotment on Twitter, so that's good. You can go reach out at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. Hey, coming up after 1 o'clock, State Senator Chris Elliott's going to join us. He was on the show with us last week. I think it was last week. To talk about his push for getting some kind of relief for frequent users of what will be the Mobile River Bridge and for the Wallace Tunnel, get some kind of discount. Like Rita says on the text line, Rita says, doesn't frequent user Easy Pass have a discount in Florida? Absolutely. In other states, Rita, they have the same thing. I wasn't saying you can't have that. What I found out, and we'll ask again when we talk to Chris Elliott, but federal law says it can't be based. This is nothing but just a piece of information. Maybe you can use this in the nerdiest game of Trivial Pursuit ever. That you cannot offer discounts on tolling based on address location. Like you can't say, because that was my original question, can't like the citizens of Mobile and Baldwin County go ahead and just, get the discounted rate for, and that was a no. You can do it based on frequency of use. Now, how you prove that frequency of use, I don't know. I'm sure there's something. I've not, been envious of the people in Florida with those passes. But it's not a. I don't know how it works. I don't know if you have to turn in a report or something. How much you use it? Oh, and somebody had said, "Hey, won't this slow down because of toll boost?" Yeah. Once again, y'all, and this is worth doing. We can have this conversation 100 times. We've had it many times over the last year and a half, but we will continue that. No toll booths associated. The idea would be toll by plate. There's not going to be a physical toll booth if this happens either way, whether it's $1, $2, $12, $8 million, whatever it is. You're not going to be pulling up and throwing your money in the little deal. You'll be driving and the cameras will be taking pictures of your plates, and that's how they'll toll you. It's kind of like what I get from FDOT in Florida. When I drive down to South Florida, I get these little things that come in the house, mailers that say, hey, you owe $2.65 or whatever it is, because here you are driving, in South Florida, blah, blah, blah. So that's how they would do it here. Okay, here it is. So Eric says they need to do it like they do in Florida, the Sun Pass that is purchased daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, or annually for a discounted price, and between the two counties have a tax break write-off like property tax. There you go. Interesting. Once again, the idea of adding a state tax write-off would be good, but I'm not giving it to people from Madison County. But there's no way, if they pushed. Can you imagine a piece of legislature, a bill in Montgomery that would give an exemption for a tax write-off for people in Mobile and Baldwin County because of the toll getting passed without the other 65 counties going, wait, we want some action on this, too. All right, let's hear. Here's Dr. Lou checking in as well on the phone line. Hey, Dr. Lou.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good, man. So what's up?
Well, listen, I just was down there cutting a commercial against the tolls, and the things that you all have been talking about are part and parcel of where we're coming from on this. I mean, we've made the point that, and you'll hear it tomorrow during the day when it's played, but this whole idea that you've got a national, a toll that's coming on a national highway from Florida to California, there are no tolls on I-10.
Not on 10, but on 95. I had the same reaction.
On New Jersey Turnpike, things like that. So, but here again, the argument that basically is that, you see what they're doing in Birmingham with the I-20, 59.
Right, that's the one that gets me. That's the apples to apples one.
I mean, it's a $750 million deal. No tolls are planned. And yet, we're being forced to shoulder this. I don't know. I mean, our argument is basically going to call Governor Ivey and Shelby and see if they can't do something. And to be honest with you, what they keep saying is that 60% of the money is going to come from out of state. Well, if it's 40% for us, why don't they just fund that 40% and then we'll just do away with and come up with what you've been saying here is that the frequent user issue is the only thing that will save us to a certain degree. So just, give 100% user fee. But I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. But, you know, the I went to the May 7th at Spanish Ford. And, I mean, everyone was opposed to it. I mean, John Sharp wrote about it. So the real question is, can we translate this grassroots opposition into something real for a change? We'll see.
Well, let's see where it goes. It's happened before. Now, the difference is it's happened at a county level and a state level with some of these projects. Now we're moving in the federal level, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well,
Dr. Lou, I'll be interested to hear. I did see you coming through, so interested to hear that ad start running, you said, tomorrow. Okay, very good. It'll start playing here tomorrow at FM Talk 106.5. Hey, coming back after the break, we'll grab some more calls and text, and Chris Elliott joins us, State Senator Chris Elliott. He has an idea here to get a discount, some kind of rate adjustment for frequent drivers of what would be the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Wallace Tunnel tolling. And we're talking about how much that is. He's talked about just what Dr. Lou talked about. The comparisons of what happens in other states and other places don't get my attention nearly as much as what's going on in Birmingham. I think that's the best scenario where you can look at. You have an interstate. You have ALDOT money going into it. You have federal money going into it, but no tolls there. So I think that's, if you're looking at a comparison, so why does Birmingham get that deal and we don't? Now we'll talk about it. We get back.